Oh, nice. Shad mouse pad?
the old shag.
For the man that has everything. For the leisurely man who has everything.
Mouse pad with shag carpet.
I like it.
Yeah. What else do you need, Steve?
You're doing great. So, yes, this device, the battery is going to explode.
Yes.
And so the mouse pad doesn't work that well.
That's bad, yeah.
So,
well,
we're just going to, you know, when this building burns down, we're going to know where it starts.
Pretty self-contained. I'm sure.
What we could do is we could put it, when we're done with it, we could, like, store it in a kind of... almost like a bomb zone or something like that, where nothing flammable is around it.
Old firebox for your, backup.
Just document that we had a $75,000 Microsoft Surface in here. Okay, that's all we need to know.
Look at that.
That I love is useless for recording a podcast.
But for insurance purposes,
I don't.
Yeah,
we got this documented, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I don't know if John's listens to these things, but we got shiny shoes on. Mr. Sean.
On me? I haven't worn these
you got shiny
since
shoes?
Last winter, so maybe...
Look at that.
Yeah, I do need to polish them. I used to be really good about polishing my shoes, and I kind of fell off.
Then you got
You know, I'm a former kids. Shoe man. I worked 10 years in the shoe business.
Right, at Foot Locker.
Well, initially Kenny Shoes, which owns Foot Locker, but, you know, I had to, like, dye shoes and repair shoes and so on.
You worked for 10 years? I remember the dyeing story.
I worked from... Sophomore year in high... No, it probably just felt like 10 at the time. Sophomore year in high school to freshman year in college.
Okay.
So it was not 10 years.
Yeah. That's good. You remember his shoe dyeing story.
I have always said was... I worked at the worst time to become a shoe salesman. It was right when Mary with Children was released.
Oh, yeah.
So
the Al Bundy story.
I would have to go to parties after high school, and I would be wearing my work uniform, which was like a shirt and tie, and I was just, everyone would call me Al Bundy.
Uh-huh. Perfect.
You should have said you were a shoe cobbler instead.
A cobbler.
Yeah, nobody would know and be like, what is
medieval
that?
Medieval job. Oh, my liege, may I enter? I'm a poor, weary
it's
cobbler.
Like a blacksmith for humans, you know.
Well, I do have to say, so a year ago... My wife and I were in Italy. We took a little trip, and we were in Italy. And there was a place where she had shoes specifically made for her. And we watched the whole thing.
Yeah,
because
that's crazy.
Like he kind of built them as she was picked her stuff, and he built these shoes, and it was like, wow, that's kind of amazing. And it was really
cool. Does she ever wear them now?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love
a lot, like their daily wears, or they're with an outfit that she always has to.
They're special shoes,
good. Yeah,
for special occasions.
Very nice.
But I kind of envy countries and economies that are like that. You know, where like whether it's through what they value as a society, or just the cost of living change, that you can just buy these handmade goods. You know,
yeah.
I worked for a little bit for this company that just opened up all their Indian offices, and they needed desks. And we were like, yeah, go to like whatever your equivalent to a store is. He's like, well, we got a weird office. He's like, why don't I just bring in a carpenter to make desks? And we're like, okay, yeah, we're not made of money. He's like, it'll be cheaper.
Oh my God, yeah.
Wow.
To do that where I live and then just get a tailor made. I mean, we'll have to wait a couple weeks, but the process will be cheaper and it'll fit the space better. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, that would... We would have to pay through the nose to do that in America.
That's amazing.
And that person can survive and sustain a family and own a house and live on the fact that he's, you know.
And now we're back to... All right, we are the Worldwide IT Guys. Before we go there, I'm Steve.
I'm Dion.
This is Sean.
We're going to do, I think, 275.
Nice.
That's what we're up to. So, we were going to go real political real fast.
I was just going to say...
And there's nothing.
Shoe cobbler could, you know, survive.
Today, there's nothing going on in the political world or the landscape globally, geopolitically. None of it.
Quiet.
So pretty quiet.
It's very quiet. Times.
Quiet and peaceful on the home front.
So I wanted to bring up the announcement. We talked about it briefly, but it happened. The Apple announcement.
Okay, that one.
Which one is this?
So they've basically like launched a $4,000 laptop is what,
like a MacBook Pro.
What I take away from this whole announcement, I didn't see it.
It's a new processor with all the latest and greatest, and I think this one's gonna like stick and be the one. And then you know how we talk about the one generation of MacBook Pro, Sean, that we're like, if we still had that one, lasted forever.
The 2015 was the greatest computer I've ever owned in my life.
Right. We may look back.
It's what we're recording on this week and say right now.
That is correct.
But we may look back on the architecture of the M3 and the way this one's built and say this one's lasted 5, 6, 7 years, just like the 2015, and this could be the one.
Right, but it's the M3 chip.
Yeah, and they've got their degrees of, because they got to, you want to turbocharge it or not, but.
So I'm on, I believe,
two,
an M2.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine, granted, I'm not doing, I'm not gaming on it. I'm not doing, video editing and all kinds of things that might need something more than, but seriously, this is the machine you're talking about for me, the 2015 machine that I don't think I'll ever want to give up because it just runs.
It's a workhorse.
The battery, the battery life is amazing. The all of it is right.
I
doesn't
only
run
say
hot.
It about the M3 because I believe Apple's done we got an M1 and M2 out the door over the past very short window of years. We're landing at 3 right now. And I think 3 is going to sit and settle. That's my take on it. I think it'll be an M3 for a while longer. I don't think we're going to have an M4. I don't think we're going to sit here in 2024 and go, now I've got the M4. This is the one you guys are going to.
Right, but they didn't change anything else, right? They're still, they've got the MagSafe and they've got the USB-C and they've got, all of the stuff that I saw on the ports was the same.
Yeah, performance. And I think they're landing with, and it might be a little bit more efficient with battery and things like
that. They are quoting better efficiency from a battery perspective, but that's what it's come down to. It's all they can do.
One thing I'm surprised they haven't improved with the work from home movement is the cameras on the laptops still fucking suck. Why not? It probably, I would think, would be relatively cheap to put a better camera in there.
Totally is, and this is insert our friend Doug's rant here. This is the number one thing he despises about he loves every one of the devices. He hates that component of the device.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe Apple's view is, if you actually care about how you look, you're going to have an external camera anyways. I don't know, but it's like, you could say that about your iPhone camera.
I'm going to hold my phone above my laptop and connect it so it's doing all my video. No, you're not going to do that.
I've tried it just to see if it worked before I bought a 4K webcam, and it was a pain in the ass. It didn't work well. I didn't like it.
Yeah, and think of how
duct tape all over your laptop.
It
was terrible.
We also know how shitty is every collaboration meeting software about detecting when there's multiple cameras at play.
Yes.
They're like, nope, no way, buddy. No way. I'm on this guy. I talk to him. So I just feel like it would be an easy W to put up on the board. And I think that's the kind of thing you can sell to the average consumer real easily. Hey, you work from home? You're going to look better.
Yeah. I was on a global leadership meeting today, our executive IT leadership, and the number of challenges they had with, my device isn't working. I'm sorry you can't hear me. You're watching them try to talk and you can't hear them. And they leave the meeting and come back. And, magically they're back online. And it's like the software is not
good. So the new OS, did you upgrade to the newest OS for your Mac?
Have I done that yet? Yes, I did. I did finally do that.
So there's when you're using video or you're in a conference, there's basically hardware now, software on the Mac will allow you to plug things in at the kind of the OS level to do what you would do in Zoom or Teams or FaceTime or whatever. And I don't know if you've seen it, but when you're in Teams, there's now a little, it says you're doing video or you're using audio in a conference now at the top of your menu bar. So look for that. And it basically is kind of controls that you can add things to in the future, whether you have programs that do that or whatever. It's where you can kind of manage your video. in the OS. So if you wanted to do something. I will say this, though. Most people who are really concerned about their appearance in those meetings, Teams isn't 4K yet, so what's the point? Zoom kind of supports it. You know, you could use Zoom. Zoom is very popular. Zoom also basically is like, by the way, you look a little wrinkly. Why don't we soften up those lines here? Why don't we give you better lighting? By the way, would you just like a filter that makes you look like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio? Yeah, give me the DiCaprio filter, please. I would like to look like that in all my calls. I have no wrinkle lines. I look 20 years younger.
Yeah, Teams has like soft focus or something
soft
like
focus,
that.
Soft focus, yeah. And I do use a little bit of that. You don't need to see with my 4K camera my forehead lines.
I love that you're doing that.
I drag it to the right a little bit, just a little bit, you know.
What did you, much.
I mean, I don't look like a baby on these calls. Would you, can do you just drag it all the way and I just like look like an eraser?
Deion's got a full, Tara has a full makeup booth yes. set up. It's like you have that white,
the white tape, tissue that they rip off.
Do you have ring light? Do you do that?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't need it because I sit in front of a window and it's natural light, Steve. Anyways, I did that on purpose. But I will say I am camera ready by 7 a.m. every day. That is the I tell my stylist, I tell my wife, I tell my daughter, I tell everybody, I'm camera ready by 7 a.m. every day.
You're like a news anchor.
Yeah, exactly. Weatherman.
You should start talking in that voice. Whoa, surprise coming out of London.
Good morning, everybody.
You might want to consider some eyeliner, just, you know, between you and me.
I'm sure we probably talked about it on the podcast when it was more timely, but did you ever read the statistics on the jump that happened in male cosmetic surgery when lockdown first happened?
Oh, yeah. Because
it was like all these, which I just found as a hilarious indictment of the male species that we never actually looked at ourselves
just
until
we
were joining a business meeting.
Just means they're not tech savvy. They're rich guys
not
that don't know tech.
That, you know?
They're just rich guys that don't know tech because there's definitely filters that you could have put on. If you're working from home, I'm telling you, I could look like...
Yeah, but it also means...
I could look like Clooney tomorrow on every call if you want me to.
You're right about that, but it also means...
I want to see
they weren't looking at them. They weren't looking at themselves in other arrangements either.
No, agreed. Yeah.
But yeah, they also didn't know how to solve it at a technology level. So they're.
I mean, I don't.
They wanted to fix the core problem. That's what made them rich in the first place.
That's true. Yeah, that makes them a better person.
I think I do agree that it's comical, but at the same time, it's. That makes me feel better that people weren't so self-centered that's all they were doing was spending all their time looking at themselves in the mirror and looking as good as they possibly could.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was, you know, it's like, no, that's kind of the point of being a dude at this stage.
Yeah.
Is, you know, you can just walk out the door and look okay, but don't fret over it. And, you know, no eyeliner, no, you know. And I hope that the world is more comfortable with that.
This is real quick, just kind of a funny, you guys will appreciate this. So I have a podcast that's on my live show called The Blackout Diaries. I record it with a buddy of mine that you guys know, CJ Sullivan. We record it every week. Okay,
cross promotion.
So
go ahead.
But to bring it back to this and why I'm bringing it up right now,
it's the only reason he comes on this
so
podcast.
So when we have our guests on, we record it over Zoom, but we only record audio. And what's interesting is I would say it's about half and half. Half our guests are dudes, half our guests are women. When you tell dudes, hey, well, yeah, we're going to record it over Zoom, they're like, fine, no problem. Zero follow-up questions. You ask a woman every single time, is the video going to be shared? Because I need to look camera ready.
Yeah, so, sure.
Not a single dude has ever asked.
Sure.
Like, I love that doesn't even enter the male psyche.
Yeah.
Like,
you're
are you
going to
publicly
point.
Share how I look? Yeah. Yep. Oh, well, I wouldn't care one way or another. You know?
Yeah.
But women are like, I can't do it tomorrow if video is going to be shared. All right. Yeah. Like, because I don't have the time to be in a place where I feel I'll anything, like my house will be ready, I will be ready, nothing.
I think that's also part stand up, though, too.
It might be. And we don't record video. And it's funny how, like, they're like, oh, thank God. You know, when we say we don't record video, we only record audio. But they're like,
That's the layer of the makeup that they need to kind of add on to, maybe for being camera ready, is different. Like,
Is different. It is, you know, I remember doing a video for, you know, a, group that worked with us, and they wanted people to speak about their experience. And so, you know, I went to this thing, and
did they have,
you know, a before I got there, they had a, this is what you should bring from a wardrobe perspective, this is what you should be wearing, this is the guidelines.
Yep. Nice.
You know, wear these things. Okay. And show up here, you know, like an hour and a half before time for hair and makeup. And I'm like, I'm going to do hair and makeup?
Yeah. You know you've arrived, though, when it's be early for your hair and makeup session. I mean, that means you're there.
It was very light. It was no big deal. But there was that, what you're talking about on, you know,
the little
slider thing on Teams or whatever. It was that level. It was like, they just slid me over. I'm actually about 10 years younger.
I mean, in the call this week, speaking of sliders and filters, we had kind of a fun, it's Halloween this week, mm-hmm. and there was a fun call of like, hey, why don't you put a costume on or a mask or something? And I was like, we don't even need to play this game anymore. Like, it's filters, and just, I'm going to look like a werewolf on this call today, or I'm going to look like a gladiator or Leonardo DiCaprio today. I mean, really, that's what you can do in these calls now, if you want to show up and just be like, yeah. And I almost did that. I actually wore a mask. Nobody noticed. It's fine. But
everybody noticed.
Nobody saw my mask.
It's everybody fine. Saw your
I
mask.
I tried.
Relax. Everybody saw it.
Nobody commented.
The problem
on my
was
mask.
Everybody saw Irk, because several Irks showed
that
up.
Was a funny little
again,
thing.
Again, filters and magic
yep.
of.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put it up there briefly. Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Yeah, it was good. Wait, me?
Yeah, you.
So it was.
Your mask that sort of, you know, you can change and do different things with, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my universal, which I did share. I had a fun Halloween trick-or-treater. A little boy came up to my door last night. It snowed last night for Halloween. Horrible. But we have like a little fake haunted house thing. You got to walk through it. It's a little scary for like a 2-year-old. He's in a Hulk costume. I love Hulk. He walks up. He basically, his big sister's like knocking on the door. Nothing. Just give me the candy. Let's go trick-or-treat. He walks up, he's super scared, won't go through the haunted house, is like, what's going on here? And I take off the mask because it's a little scary, and I like, oh my god, I love the Hulk, come on up. Kid reaches in to grab candy, like deathly scared, and is about to walk away, like doesn't even look at the candy he picked out. It's just like, oh my god, what's happening here? And then realizes, I don't want this candy, and he throws it back, and is like, then he picks out the candy, and then he's back to being scared again. But like, the candy was more important than, you know, whether or not this was scary. I thought that was my favorite part of the night.
That is great.
Yeah.
That is good. The best thing we've done is because we have a thing now that we do where we shoot candy down a long chute. Yeah.
Those are fun. Those are great.
But the best thing about it is we just buy these boxes of Hershey candy bars, and that's what we get.
I saw that. You gave full bars. That's great.
Full bar.
Great way to become a favorite of the neighborhood is you give the king size, the full size candy.
So there's a newer subdivision next to us. We're the older subdivision. Yep. And she went to the friend's house in the newer subdivision instead of doing her subdivision. Yep. She went to that subdivision, bigger houses. Everybody was full-size candy bar.
Nice.
She's just like, Dad, every house was a full-size candy bar. I'm like, yeah, they're twice as big as our house, okay? Yeah, so go get the full-size candy bars and then bring them home to me. But I did say, you know what? It's probably not a big deal. Let's be the full-size candy bar house on this block because
it
nobody else is doing
live.
It
would let's set try me back it. Financially 20 years where I live.
Well, so
we go through four giant Costco bags because my neighborhood is small lots. Like, my neighborhood has so many kids.
Yeah.
And
it's rapid fire.
We probably drop on Costco candy almost $200.
Oh, my
you know,
God.
And that's with small size.
But is that about what you do? For 100 Hershey's?
Candy's expensive.
Whatever you do?
I don't remember what. I mean, Jen bought them, so I don't know what. But
it's
she
gotta
goes.
Be.
It's over 100. She goes to.
She goes to.
It's over 100.
She goes to GFS and, you know, bulk candy purchase, buys the big store, you know, version of the box. She buys two of them. And
chocolate's just really
we don't
expensive
go through them
right
all.
Now. But
yeah. But and by the way, side note, if you didn't see John Oliver's thing about chocolate, he ruins chocolate.
Yeah, like, you of course he does.
Anyways. don't want to buy chocolate ever again. What was I going to say about full-size candy bars? So I think that's what I want to do, but I, you know,
do it.
I don't know.
You know what you can do? Nobody knows you're doing it until you do it. So what you do is you buy X number of full-size. Hopefully it's enough. then you got these small backups if you miscalculate it.
Yeah, and you don't
have to be like, oh, sorry, kids, nothing, you know.
So, we'll be that house next year, I think. I think it'll be good. We won't have a candidate.
Or you give them something from your job. What you do is you give a certificate for 30 days of free Okta when you run out of full-size bars. I like the people who have – we have interesting people in my neighborhood. And, like, one guy is what's the job? Not an archaeologist. What's the job where you work in rocks?
Geologist.
Thank you. He's a geologist. Cool. So he always gives like these little like rock collecting kits and like different things.
Wow.
And the kids have so much candy that they completely love it. I think if it was like the only gift you got, you'd be like, what? I want a candy. But like it's a great variation and a lot of people do stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. Do you guys do it yourself or have people in your neighborhood who, you know, are giving out the little bottles for the adults too?
No. There's always a few that do. I got to tell you about this house. I actually took some photos I'll share with you too. But this one dude is hilarious with how he sets up the skeleton graveyard. And then he actually sets up like these waterworks with working water. So the one skeleton is always puking green stuff into a garbage can.
Nice.
The other skeleton is peeing on a keg. It's like borderline inappropriate, you know. But he also gives you like an adult beverage when you go by.
There's the one house that has the walkthrough garage of like a makeshift haunted house thing. It takes like 25 seconds and you're in and out, right?
Yep.
But he's got a line for, well, the parents are waiting, and there's stuff there. And that's kind of, I always appreciate that house.
Yeah.
But this is the first year I didn't walk this year for the first time ever. It was like, okay.
She's getting bigger.
So yeah, I know. Yeah. She went off with friends. But I was on a work call this morning with someone who lives in New York. And in her neighborhood, she said she walked her, she's a younger kid, walked down to a different block, not too far from her house, and heard basically a DJ, like
nice
bass, and like there's a huge party going on. And she walked down this block, and this block had one house had a DJ, one house had a craft beer sampler party going on, one had another event, and another event, and another event. And it was all for the adults.
Huh. Yeah.
On one block. Cool. And it was five houses in a row on one block, and that's it. Just five houses on this block, so they're obviously monster houses, right? And she said, I felt bad because there were literally no people across the street. Like, nobody was going to the houses across the street. Why would you leave the rave and the craft beer
your game.
Party
when,
you know, and they're probably, definitely full-size candy bars on that block, I'm just going to say. But I thought that was great. I'm like, really? Like, one year we had a party, but we didn't have...
It's becoming those kind of neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Like, that's out of my realm of reality because my kids were well past all of this by the time stupid was happening like that.
Yeah.
But there were parties that we would go to where you'd go to someone's house
and
it would be a normal party where, you know, you did your trick. The kids went around the neighborhood. They came back. They went to the basement and did whatever they were doing, playing, screwing around, eating their candy. And the adults were upstairs having chili and drinking a beer.
2016, Emma hosted a Halloween party for all of her friends and some of the family, and they came over, and it was adult beverages for us and candy and pin the nose on the zombie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys like documentaries or if any of our listeners like documentaries. It was years ago when it came out, so I'm going to try and remember the title. I might have the title wrong, but I believe it's called American Horror. But it's about this neighborhood outside of Boston.
Horror.
It's about this neighborhood outside of Boston, this one block that just goes wild for Halloween. And the level of competition they all have. They all create their own scary haunted house where when you trick or treat, you tour within their house.
Yeah, I go through there.
And it's a fascinating documentary just like... Some of these people work year round to get their house ready for this day. Like, it's kind of crazy and really super. If you like documentaries, one of the most interesting documentaries I've ever seen.
Huh.
Yeah.
Sounds
great.
Intriguing.
Watch. Yeah. I think it's called American Horror. I'll look it up later, but yeah.
Very cool. So what else has gone on in the world of technology if we turn back that way? Is there anything that I saw you posted something about security world again. So is there anything going on in the security space?
Well,
he was posting a meme. So it was a silly thing.
I posted a meme that I made. There's two things that kind of have been happening in my world with security and identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just about these social engineering, phishing, and hacks that are happening, right? So recently, you mentioned Okta. Okta's implemented this. If you're not active for 15 minutes, we're logging you out instantly.
Yeah.
It used to be as long as your window browser was up and running, you're good. And I got to, quite honestly, I log in. It's like the second thing I do in the morning is just bring up the window, log in, and leave it running so I can get in and out all day, because that's pretty much what I do all day is like, hey, 5,000 questions from 5,000 people about 5,000 other people. Okay, great. Let me just answer that for you right now. So I have it up and running all day. Now, I can't have it up and running all day. Every 15 minutes, it's going to say, are you still here? And I'm not going to say it, and I'm going to be logged out, which is fine. But that's supposed to prevent some of these, I left my window open, and you know, somebody's going to come in and do something.
Yeah.
Never going to happen. I work. So anyway, so that's a thing. But there's another component to my job that is interesting these days, in that we need to deactivate, disable access, and shut things down right now, and we don't have time for anything else or anybody else is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And my meme essentially was the fact that even though
you mean boot, I need this guy booted out of all systems.
Yeah. Clear everything, lock him out. We have a lever, and we need to do this right now.
Yep.
We have cyber armies that are protecting us every minute of every day.
Yep.
And none of them can do what I have to do at least once a week. And that was kind of my meme of, The more we build an army to do things, the less we feel that we can trust them to do it.
But and isn't, I was like, isn't the army really out there looking to see where our problems are so that you can then fix them? It's like an army to send you more things to do. Am I wrong?
I mean, that's another part of my brilliantly crafted position that I've landed in. But yeah, exactly. The army is there to let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are all the cracks, and these are what you need to fill the holes and yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, it really was just I had this. I've always had this. Let's just put it that way. But there was never supposed to be an army of people doing this, and then me still doing it. So it was always me.
Yeah.
Always doing the same thing, being the secure person, taking care of the thing that nobody could take care of instantly. Now, there's supposed to be an army doing that, and they're still not doing it. And that's why I'm saying the more...
Well, just so you know, I've never thought of anybody else that's more secure than you. You are the most secure person I know.
I'm good enough. I'm strong. Smart enough.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Well. Do we turn to sports?
Oh, what do you got in sports?
In our world, there's, you know, this American football team that can't seem to fight its way out of a paper bag.
Which, the Bears, yeah.
You know, there was a...
made a very curious trade.
Made a very curious trade. Yeah. I would agree with that, a very curious move,
yeah.
Especially given the fact that they did something similar a year ago and it failed miserably.
Yeah. And that his teammate, who's better, was traded for less.
But
that's, 2 hours later, yeah, that's you're like, what?
That's the weird. Yeah.
On a more global perspective, we have a famous footballer, Lionel Messi, who I think is now the first currently American soccer world player to win this award. I've forgotten what the award is called.
I saw a headline that he won. It was funny because the photo made it look like an Oscar, or it made it look like an Academy votes for it, and it has has nothing to do. Like, it doesn't look like an MVP award type thing. But anyhow, I did see that he won that. He's kind of like asterisk level American soccer player, though. You know.
What do you mean asterisk?
I mean, it's not like he grew up in America. American soccer produced him.
Absolutely. You
know, and he's on the tail end of his career.
Absolutely. I think the important thing, the difference is that he came, usually when they come to play in this country, they are no longer what they were.
Yeah.
And he's still winning this award, he's effectively proving to be in that class of the best player in the world.
The eighth Ballon d'Or award.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eighth Ballon d'Or is the, well, that's an interesting name, but yeah.
And he's, you know, doing that while he's, you know, playing for an American team, which is, you know, unheard of that anybody playing for an American team would win that award.
I wonder how good Pelé was when he came to America. Like, I think he was the best player in the league that year, but was he, like, years past his prime, Pelé, or was he, like...
He was pretty well past his prime.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
You know, the difference was everybody in our country that was playing literally, like, walked off of a baseball field and onto a soccer pitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he could play till about 80 and still be there.
I'm a pipe fitter by day. what do you do?
By the way, Ballon d'Or translates to golden ball. So Messi's got 8 golden balls, if you want to count them.
Okay.
You just wanted to be able to say that.
Yeah. All right, let's just be clear. Well, the prediction is that soccer, because it's in America, soccer will be the most popular sport by the end of this decade.
No way.
That's what they say.
But let's go back to
in America,
most popular to
in America,
watch.
In America.
Most popular from what perspective?
If it's people playing, I can believe that. If it's most watched, where the ratings have exceeded the NFL or the NBA, I don't believe that.
I don't remember if it was TV, attendance at games, or all of the above. But they basically are stating that think about how much of the U.S. is changing culturally, that there could be a lot of people that like soccer in this country.
I think it'll never overtake, as a consumer sport until, like, the thing about America is our best athletes don't choose soccer. You know what I mean? Like, they go to basketball, football,
and
or baseball.
Will they continue to choose football, brain damage?
Yes.
Baseball, so they, maybe
no,
not
I think
the best
that's
thing.
A great point.
Or, and that's kind of what they're saying, is soccer is probably the best one for our best athletes to go into. That'll change over years. Messi and all of these other world-renowned athletes are going to be coming here to play because of the money. Or not, and
I do agree with that long
so,
term.
Yeah,
I think the concussion thing, the NFL has no way to get out of that with the leadership they have and how like just conservative everyone is there.
Yeah.
I think they're so far behind the times on that, and they will continue to be. And you look at the youth level. Like, I grew up 20 miles north of Canton, Ohio, like where the Football Hall of Fame is, where football was essentially invented.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, I went to a Catholic grade school. Every Catholic grade school had a football team. Now I talk to my brothers, my sisters, my friends who are in that same area. Yep. About 7 Catholic schools have to pool together to form one team. Because college, if you're going to a Catholic school nowadays, too, it's super expensive, which means it's all college-educated parents, which means it's like no way in hell are you playing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Really?
So I think it's drying up at the youth level. I think the people that are amazing athletes that maybe are so good they can become famous within their towns will still play football.
This is weird. I don't know how to state it properly, but the cities where education and maybe the bluer states will have less football players and the red states will have more.
I think you're 100% right.
I'm just kind of going in that direction because guess what? It's still very popular in those areas of our country.
Well, blue and red and in America is a marker of college education right now.
Exactly. And so if you want to go to college, you don't want to bang your head against somebody's other head in a helmet probably all day and all night. So I think we may start to see, and as and I don't want to get too deep into this, as the collegiate divisions start to divide into just the big SECs and the, you know, that's it. Look where those are. Look where they're going. Look where they're spreading. Look, it's very interesting. It's
I agree, and so. It's almost becoming a game where not everyone plays it. Only the people who think they have a future career play it. You know, and
yep. It's not a fun sport. And guess what? Flag football is going to be in the Olympics, so maybe that'll be a thing in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen to a lot of the people that can still walk when they finish their NFL career, right? They're going to go into flag football.
Biggest, yeah. I heard, or I forget who tweeted it or X'd it or whatever you call it these days, but it was basically like, if you could take just the NFC Pro Bowl team and put them in a flag football game, tell me who on this planet is even going to compete against them. Tyreek Hill all these receivers, all these fastest, most gifted, talented players on the planet.
Yeah.
If you stuck them with flags on them,
take them down. Certain players who are amazing in real football who are like, I am fucking useless in flag football. You know, just like you can't tackle me because I'm 250 and I run a 4.5. A
fullback does not exist in flag football. Fullback doesn't exist in flag football.
Yeah, exactly. Derrick Henry isn't necessarily a great flag football player, but like good.
But how about Justin Fields? I mean, would be an amazing quarterback,
sure,
right?
Derrick Henley's a great athlete. Yeah. I'm sure. Like he will beat me in flag football, no problem. But I'm just saying, you're taking away his best attribute.
Yeah, he's a downhill runner who just wants to run somebody over.
But what you might see is, you know, people like Tyreek Hill doing a lot more running of the football than actually catching passes.
He could be
a
running back now.
He'll do both, right?
Yeah. It's those little shovels and things. I can just,
All the little guys.
It's a different, flag football is a different game. If you haven't seen adult men play this, it's weird. But, you know, when you watch kids play it, it's, oh, it's cute. And then you watch adult men and you're like, I don't know. It's kind of fun. I like soccer. I don't know. That's just my brain.
I can honestly say that I don't recall watching
grown men play flag
anybody
football.
Yeah. Play a lot of flag football. I played some like PE flag football back in the day, right? That's my experience with flag football. And I know that is there a women's league now?
There's a women's tackle.
Well, there's always been.
Chicago has a women's tackle team.
The Lingerie Bowl. Was kind of this.
No. I'm talking about an actual women's flag football.
There is, and I know that because every time I see these posts about men's flag football and the Olympics, someone always posts this gif of this high school, college age girl playing flag football where her hips literally are just going like a pendulum and nobody can get the flag. She's running down the field and she literally is just moving her hips back and forth and nobody can get it. And I'm like, men don't move like that. I guarantee she could play.
I have
you
thought
just
about
did.
That.
You just did.
I mean,
watched
it was impressive. Yeah. It was impressive.
And it is funny how like in flag football, you do this ballerina like you do these dance moves to try.
Yeah.
And, like,
I mean, she can TikTok down the field and you're never getting her flag. That's basically what I thought was pretty cool about this animated GIF that's always shows up. So, yes. So that's
what else do we got?
That's sports.
That's sports.
Now we move to weather and traffic. You're the anchor man
on the
eights. Zoom meetings.
And we do have a short window.
Yes,
today,
we were supposed to make this short today.
Yep.
Do we have one final topic though, or does anybody have one or no? Oh, I'll tell you a real quick funny story about Halloween last night. So I made you guys saw the photos, but Cora wanted to be a fortune teller. I made a Zoltar fortune telling box.
Yeah, it looked great.
It turned out really nice, and she helped me. It was a group effort, and it was all her idea.
And that's
great.
Basically from the movie Big. Right?
Yeah, it is correct. So what? My daughter is a ham, and if she's making me laugh, she's like she just keeps going at those jokes. So. It was funny because people would ask her for her fortunes, but so she would have this little ball that she would turn, and then she would just go, "Oh, your fortune, it's the same fortune for all of us, death."
Oh, oh my God!
Which is like kind of macabre for this little girl.
A little bit.
And then the one guy, was like, well, what about me? So and now it made more sense initially, but then when I laughed, she said it to everyone. The first guy to ask for a fortune was dressed as a Grim Reaper, so it made more sense.
Oh, well, that's funny.
But then
funny.
Because I laughed, she's saying it to everyone.
Oh. Uh-huh.
But then his friend was Indiana Jones, the Grim Reaper, and she goes, your fortune? I sense a midlife crisis.
Oh, she's good.
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good. Yeah.
She's always pretty good. Well, we have been the Worldwide IT Guys. Yes, I am hungry. Oh, you're going to do the sausage?
But nobody made a comment about my windshield wipers. But that's okay. We've been the Worldwide IT Guys. We're
Dion's
hungry.
Dion's unhappy. You know, look. I think I'm naming this one Dion's swivel hips. So
I like that. Yeah.
So
they don't lie.
You got that going.
They don't lie. My hips don't lie. Okay.
That should be your bio. That should be your bio in 0365. My hips don't lie.
We certainly appreciate everybody listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Cheers.